morning. It's good to be here with all of you and worship the Lord. And, appreciated the service and the songs, especially this morning. I'd like to look at a passage in Mark, and this is a passage right shortly before some of the last words that Jesus said to his followers before he was taken away from them and taken to Pilate and tried. So if you would turn to Mark 14, then I'm just going to read about 12 verses here, starting at verse 26. So this is after they had the Last Supper together, and this is what happened after that. Mark 14, 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I'm going to stop there. So as we see Jesus going into the garden there and realizing that he was facing a struggle and not knowing, and wanting some companionship and somebody around him, he asked his disciples to go with him and to wait while he prayed. And I'd like to focus in on this one word that he uses here when he talks to his disciples. He says to stay here and watch. And he says that word actually a couple times here, three times in this passage. He asks them to watch, and he finds out that they were sleeping, and he says, couldn't you watch at least 1 hour? And then he says, watch and pray. And I had to ask myself, what is Jesus telling his disciples here in this word watch? What does he want them to do? What was he asking of them? And why were they having a struggle, obviously, fulfilling what he wanted of them? And so I'd like to look at this idea of watching and what it means and how it applies to us today, because I think it really does apply to us today. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus told his disciples this little passage. He said, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So in another context, he was talking about watching because he was coming back for them at some time. But here at this case, he was wanting them to watch while he prayed and while he was being tempted and fighting this battle. So Jesus told his disciples to watch because of temptation. He told them to watch because the flesh is weak, and he said to watch because he's coming back soon. So I think if you pardon the pun, we instinctively know that when Jesus is saying watch, there's more to that than what just meets the eye. Watching is more than just seeing something. If we look at the word that's in the Greek there, it means to keep awake or keep alert, be vigilant, wakeful. Maybe if we look at the opposite, we would see that it means to not be sleepy, not be drowsy, not be ignorant. Looking at maybe some of the opposites here a little bit. What causes drowsiness in our life? You know, what causes us to be unwatchful and drowsy? And I think one of those things is inactivity. You know how it is when you're sitting on the couch and your mind starts to kind of shift into neutral, and pretty soon you're getting drowsy, and next thing you know, you fall asleep. If we're moving and active, that doesn't happen to us. We don't just fall asleep while we're on the job doing work, unless we're, you know, really extremely tired. I suppose that could happen. But no, while you're doing activities, you don't fall asleep. You don't get drowsy at that time while we're busy. But sometimes as Christians, when we become sluggish and we're slow to respond to what we know we ought to do, and we spend our time in other things, we become drowsy and weak and ineffective in our Christian life. I was thinking about a baseball player. You know, when a baseball player, he trains his muscles to swing the bat as fast as he possibly can, because he knows that the faster he swings the bat, the further the ball is going to go. And so he trains. He has these drills that he does to keep his muscles alert, ready, and strong, so that when he swings the bat, it's going to go as fast as he possibly can make it. Now, if he forgets to do this training or just neglects it, eventually his hitting becomes ineffective, and he's no longer a help to his team in offense. He's more of a liability, because he's going to miss, or he's not going to be able to hit the ball hard enough to be effective. So in the same way, I think we need to keep our spiritual lives active and not sluggish and drowsy. You know, we can sometimes have a problem with apathy in our minds. Sometimes we don't care enough, and we have to realize that there needs to be a desire and a care in our lives for what's happening to us spiritually. You know, the world can give us that mentality as well. The world's really good at distracting us from what's really important in life. And soon we find that we are drowsy in our faith, but we're really alert to what the world's saying to us and what the world's asking of us, and, you know, all the things that our heart desires there. And if we allow sin in our lives, it can lead to a careless attitude. You know, I don't really care. And when you get to that point in your Christian life where you don't care anymore, that's a very frightening place to be. So our attitude needs to be one of concern and desire for the Lord, not an attitude of whatever happens, carelessness and so on. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says this: "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So, watching and being sober, not being sleepy, not being drowsy in our Christian life. So what is watching? Maybe looking more on the active side. I think it's noticing and caring about what's happening in your Christian life and in the church. Putting the unimportant things and the insignificant things in their place. There's a place for your, you know, when Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray, he wanted them to stay awake. And he recognized that there's a place for sleep and for rest and for food and all those things. But at that moment, he wanted them to put those things aside and to watch with him. He wanted them to put aside their natural sleepiness and maybe their hunger or whatever else they might have felt, and to be aware of the spiritual struggle that was going around them, and to help in that in some way. And sometimes we need to step back and look at the unimportant things in our life and realize that we're letting them become too central and we're focused on them too much. We need to put them in their place and recognize how important and how essential the spiritual things are, that we keep those in focus. So to be watchful, we need to put not just ourselves, but also earthly things in their proper perspective, and notice what's going on spiritually in our lives and in the church. I think your spiritual health depends on your willingness to be alert and watchful, like Jesus said, to be aware of potential problems. Without a watchful spirit, the church is weakened by conflict or by worldliness or by false doctrine. There's many things that can happen that can creep into a church if the people are not watchful and are not caring about what's happening, are not noticing. You know, as parents, we look out for our children, our small children especially, and we do all sorts of things to make sure that they don't come to harm because of something we neglected. We cover up outlets and we make sure they can't get a hold of a sharp object or something, or something that they put in their mouth when they shouldn't. But sometimes we find that, you know, we've been caught off guard. They do something or they grab something and we just didn't expect it to happen. So we're always looking for those things that might be a danger to our children in a physical way. And in a spiritual way, that's how we ought to be, I think, as well. Watchful and alert to potential danger spiritually. You know, we shouldn't forget that man has a sinful nature. All of us have sinful natures. And our nature isn't getting better. We're not getting better as humans, in spite of what the world may think about evolution and so on. Mankind is going downhill, and left to ourselves, we will go downhill with it. But with Christ in our hearts, we can keep that progression of downwardness away, and we can continue on an upward path. So thinking about watching, there's another part of it that I've sort of mentioned a little bit here, but I'd like to talk about more, and that is the fact that watching is more than just noticing and being alert. Watching is also doing something about what you see. It's taking appropriate action. You know, we think of the word watch as being kind of a passive thing, and you know, we say I'm going to watch something. Let's go watch the fireworks, and we think, well, that's just, you know, a passive activity. But when you really look at this idea that Jesus was presenting here, it's more than just a passive thing that we look and see, but there's action involved. You know, if you told one of your older children to watch the baby, and then you found out that they saw the baby put something in his mouth that they shouldn't, and they watched and saw it happen, you would be very disappointed if they didn't do something about it. And, you know, if the baby was crawling up the stairs and fell down the stairs, but they noticed it, technically they were watching. That's not what you're expecting of your child when you say, watch the baby. You're expecting them to see something that's dangerous and do something about it, to do some action. So watching isn't just recognizing and seeing, it's also doing something about it. So I think Jesus said, you know, watch until I return, to paraphrase what he said. So when he's asking us to not just sit on our hands and do nothing while we await his coming return, but to keep doing something. And what is that? In a general sense, he wants us to keep our hearts in tune with him. He wants us to keep our relationship with him right. He wants us to keep moving forward, to keep fighting, to keep witnessing wherever he has called us to go. So watching is not only seeing and being alert, but it's doing those things that Jesus has asked us to do, to follow him. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think that's, you know, that's so true. How many times I look at my own life and I realize my intentions were good, at least I think they were, but I never followed through with what I was thinking was a good thing to do. I never did it. I thought that was a good thing I could do, but I never did it. And so often we think we know what we want to do, and we know what the right thing is to do, but our flesh is weak, and we never follow through. So we need self-discipline in our lives. I do, definitely, to keep my life going the right direction and to keep my body going along with what I know the Spirit wants me to do. I think watching here is in the Bible is often associated with temptation as well. You know, when Jesus said, that the flesh is weak, he was talking about how that the devil easily tempts us and the world tempts us with things, and that how we need to watch. And he said, pray. And the word prayer often comes with watch in the Bible. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then Paul said in Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And also in Ephesians, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, here's watching not only for our own spiritual health, but also for the other people, for the church, to be watching and be aware of the spiritual struggle of not only ourselves, but of the people around us. You know, temptations hit us regularly. Sometimes we know and we instinctively recognize a certain thing, time, place, whatever, where temptation is going to come to us. And we can be ready for that. We can be alert. But oftentimes it comes to us unexpectedly. And we should be prepared for that as well. Be ready with a prayer or a Bible verse or something. We should bring those things to the Lord in prayer, as it mentioned there, to be praying. When the temptation strikes you, be ready to pray at that moment. I had to think of a watchman as an illustration. You know, a watchman, his job is boiled down to three basic things. He's got to be alert, and he's got to see what's happening, and he's got to sound the alarm. You know, as Christians, we need to be like that as well. We need to be able to be alert, awake, to observe whatever it is that we need to see, and then to sound the alarm. And when I think of sounding the alarm, I think, you know, praying or whatever it is. Maybe it's talking to somebody about something. But especially in our own lives, when we deal with something and we see that we're in danger, that we pray, and then we deal with it. There's action involved. So maybe looking at some things that we should watch for. I mentioned temptation. You know, our own spiritual problems, our own weaknesses, especially those are probably at the very top of the list to be aware of, to be alert to our own weaknesses and the places where we're going to find that the devil attacks us and where we're the most weak, to be aware of those and ready with those. But what about some others? I had to think of friendships. Are we alert and aware of the friendships we have with people that maybe don't share our worldview? Are we alert and aware of those things? There's good friendships, but then there's those that, you know, they can lead us away. What about worldliness when the call of the world is coming to us? Are we alert or are we drowsy in our Christian life? What about things, possessions? Do we let those drown out our spiritual walk, or do we take those seriously and make those things, put them in the priority that they ought to be? You know, sometimes we need to step back and look at our lives seriously about these things. And maybe sometimes we could ask somebody, how do you see my life? What do you see? Because often it's hard for us to be honest with ourselves. How do you see my life in these things? Is there something that you think is hindering me? You know, a big one today, I think, is how we deal with electronics or media, cell phones, computers, the internet, all those things. And I'd like to just read a little quote here I read in a book, in a magazine that came. He says, we can deal with electronic books, cell phones, computers, and the internet by using them with moderation. But be harsh with them. Be demanding with them. Force them into submission to the gospel. And where you can't do this, throw them out. If internet access causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it away. It is better to enter heaven without Facebook than to have 1,000 friends and be cast into hell. When we make conscious choices about technology, what we should look at, for how long, or when considering the purchase of a new device, we must learn to ask with consistency whether the choice we are contemplating will form our heart after the desires, impulses, allegiances, and commitments of God. So, you know, when you buy something, and that was the person that wrote this, his name was Kyle Stolfus. So when you're looking at buying something, and this is a reminder myself, because I love the new gadgets and what they can do, but why do I want it, and what am I going to use it for, and is there a snare there, and am I alert to the snare that's waiting in that thing, and am I ready to take care of it? I remember when I was a little boy, when we lived in Missouri, I saw these signs popping up in the area, and they really impressed me. I'm not sure why they impressed me so much, but there's a picture of this dark figure with a red slash across them, and it said Neighborhood Watch. And you've probably seen these signs too, and they say Neighborhood Watch or Town Watch or whatever. And the idea, I guess, is that neighbors form this group of people who say, we're going to watch out for potential criminals or whatever sort of problems in our community. We're going to be alert and aware of what's going on around us. And by doing that, we're going to eliminate a lot of the criminals that would come here and do things. And it works really well, actually. Criminals go to some place and they see those signs and they realize that the people there are vigilant, they're alert, and they're going to notice any strange activity. And so the criminals, they go elsewhere. You know, it says on their website, this Neighborhood Watch has a website, and I was looking at it a little bit. It says that one of the first things it says is criminals are opportunists. And I think you could say the same thing about temptation. Temptation takes an opportunity that you give it, and it jumps in there. The devil, the world, whatever it is that tempts you, it comes at an opportune moment. And the idea is for this Neighborhood Watch is that if you can have just a little preparation and a little vigilance with the people that are there, these opportunists won't attack, because they'll say, well, this is not a place I want to try because I'm going to get caught here, so I'm going to go elsewhere. And, you know, that could work in our own lives, and especially I think in the church, as we are aware and alert and on the battlefield, so to speak, we see those things that the devil will trick us with and has already tricked us with, and we're aware of them now, and we're alert, and we can be prepared when he comes to attack us or attack the church. When we see that he is attacking the brotherhood, we can pull together and say, look, I see this issue as being an attack that we need to deal with. We need to go back to the Bible and deal with this problem. And so we can work together to be alert and awake and vigilant in those things. In closing, thinking about enduring to the end, there's a verse in Corinthians. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And just a reminder that, you know, watching is a continuing action. Being vigilant is not something that, by definition, that you can do just once and then you're done. It's something that you have to continue to do. And I think we all sense that the Christian life is not about some short burst of energy, but it's about a long, persevering trip. And it requires commitment now and in the future. We have to commit ourselves now that in the future we're going to be faithful in that. We have to keep on being ready, keep on renewing our relationship with the Lord, continue fighting the battle, the temptations that come. Even though we may fall, we may struggle, and we may have difficult times, we keep on going. We don't give up. And I really like this verse in Revelations. It talks about watching. It says in Revelation 16:15, and this is talking about Jesus coming the second time, and how is he going to find us? It says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. You know, if we are faithful in keeping what Jesus has given us, and if we're faithful in watching and doing what he's called us to do, when he comes as a thief, because he's coming sometime, and we don't know when, and he's going to come suddenly and without a warning, we'll be ready for that. We'll be prepared, and all of our watching and perseverance will pay off at that point. So I just leave that with you to be watchful, and I want to remind myself of that as well. I'll leave it open for...